All right, we're making our second podcast on flatearthfamily.com. This is January 23rd. This is Russell.
And I'm Kat.
And we were going to mention the things that we've done recently. We were at... This is the 23rd, and last Saturday, we tried to go to Hollywood to meet the Southern California Flat Earth group that meets there on Saturday. They start meeting at 6:30 at night, usually. You can find them on meetup.com. And we had to leave early, so we got there really early, and by the time we got back there, we never hooked up with them at 7 o'clock at night, so I'm assuming they did stuff that night. And we met one of the guys that stands on the street making money, having you take pictures with him. He says, yeah, there's this cool scientist guy that hangs out here on this corner a lot and talks of Flat Earth. I like him a lot. So so there's people that knew the guy at the Flat Earth of this group. So what we did is we went to Hollywood Boulevard in front of the Mann Chinese Theater, where there's lots of tourists and stuff like that, and talked to some people about Flat Earth and carried around our sign asking people if it was flat and stationary or if the Earth was a globe and spinning. And on Hollywood Boulevard the first time, like at 2 in the afternoon, we had a few people laugh and say it's flat. Say it's round. We had one guy come up and tell us that he thinks it's flat, but he was going to vote for round to help us get more people to vote. So that was funny. Then we went to Santa Monica Pier and walked around up on the hill at Palisades Park. And it was a different crowd of people there. We had many people vote flat there. Just walk up to us happily and vote flat. When we got on the train in downtown LA, we met this nice couple. And where did they just come from?
Yeah, they had just been at the Women's March, so.
Yeah, in the middle of a Saturday.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people that got on our train from downtown LA to Santa Monica that had signs. So the first one they saw ours, we were walking around with a whiteboard that we tally the votes on. They assumed we were feminists or just came from the rally. And then they were surprised when they saw our sign was something different. And we talked to that couple for a half hour or so.
Yeah, she asked a lot of questions. And I talked to her about how our atmosphere being next to the vacuum of space doesn't make any sense. All our air would get sucked out into space. And I don't believe that gravity can hold something in that we can move so easily with just a puff of breath or, you know.
And you mentioned that logic with like two or three people that day.
Yeah.
And it made every one of them think. It didn't really compute with them or make them go, oh yeah, you're right. But it was something they couldn't really answer. Why doesn't the vacuum suck the air?
Yeah.
So we talked to them on the way to Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Then when we got there and we're walking around on the hill in the park, we're just standing there with a sign and let people walk up to us and vote. Or if they come walking up to us looking at the sign, I'll say, so what do you think? And people would ask, what are you doing? Oh, we're just asking people if it's flat or not. Some people don't know how to react to it. And we had a bunch of people say flat. Usually flat earthers come up and are very excited to see a flat earther. But then we also get people that want to take our picture because they think we're really stupid. Or they can't believe they actually met a flat earther. Or, like this time, we had a woman who, one of her friends is a flat earther, but she hasn't seen any other flat earthers. So she wanted to take a picture of us and our sign because she, you know, can't really believe there's other flat earthers. Oh, also that couple that was on the train didn't really believe that we thought it was flat. They were asking, you guys are joking, right? Or, you know, this isn't real.
A lot of people have asked us that.
And we forgot. One of the reasons the guys thought it can't be flat is because he grew up with a friend in LA there whose dad was one of the Apollo 8 guys. I think that was the story. I can't remember exactly. But
yeah, supposedly that guy took the picture of the Earth from the moon. Mm-hmm. That famous one.
Yeah, and these guys did understand that, yeah, if we're flat earthers, we believe those guys are lying.
Yeah, so he kind of tuned out after we said his friend was lying.
You're right. He was interested in what we were talking about until we got to that point.
Yeah.
That it's just impossible for that. And what, remember one of the things? He can't be an actor because he's an engineer.
Right.
As if an engineer can't ever be told by the military to be an actor.
But that specific photo of the Earth, I mean, I don't know if it's still like this, but you used to be able to download it off of NASA and turn up the contrast and see this photo is photoshopped. Mm-hmm. So it's fake. It's obviously fake.
So then when we were on the beach, but the fun thing about being at Pacific Palisades is it was a clear day that day and you're by the ocean and we could see Catalina Island really clearly. Some days you can't see it at all. And this was a typical winter day, which would be a lot like, you know, a day that wasn't raining and stuff like that. So when we were talking to people, we brought it up a few times. So I just looked it up from Pacific Palisades above the pier. It's 40 miles to two harbors in Santa Catalina Island. We could see, so according to the math, it's 40 miles times 40 miles times 8 inches divided by 12 inches, which comes out to 1,000 feet of supposed curvature. Of course, we were at about 50 or 100 feet above sea level, you know, on the other side of the PCH, on top of that little hill, on the low part of the hill. And what we were seeing, we could see all of the island. It, from our view, you saw low enough on the island that you could tell it almost looked like two islands because you were seeing the two different parts. So you could see all the way down. So there was a fog bank covering the bottom of the island. But I'm sure we could see down to like 200 feet. We could see almost all of the island. So that was kind of interesting to talk to people and say, are you supposed to be able to see that island? You know, it's 40 miles away. So I was guessing 50 when we were standing there, but when I just did on Google Maps, it's 40. But that's definitely a long ways. Well, who else did we talk to? So one of the couples that we ran into, the guy said he was a flat earther. And his girlfriend or wife was shocked, and she was a round earther. And I said, so you guys have never talked about it? And they said, we will now. Then we had, there was another couple that was like that, where it wasn't, another couple where the guy was a flat earther, and she didn't know about that either. But they already knew that a little bit. Then there was a musician that was playing out there, and he thought that flat earth was possible, but he just thought it wasn't important. His message was love, and he didn't think that Christians should be talking about flat earth because it was just wasting time. But he was interesting and friendly. Let's see. Who else was there? I think that's all of the people we talked to that we can remember. And then, oh yeah, on our ride back to downtown LA, we talked to a black guy for the whole ride back who believes every conspiracy theory that we do, but is not sure about flat earth. In fact, maybe he thought flat earth was a conspiracy. Yeah, I don't remember. So we talked to him for a lot of stuff. And then we switched trains. some people wanted to vote on that train. And so the voting turned out like 39 to 15 or 20, what was it? I think it was like 39 Globe and like 15 flat. And then another guy asked us, hey, so do any people... He wasn't really wanting to talk about Flat Earth, but he wanted to know what kind of conversations we had. So he asked us, well, has anybody ever talked to you about the Coriolis effect? I said, well, almost everybody talks about the Coriolis effect all the time. So we talked about that a little bit, how I've seen videos with sharpshooters that say that they have to adjust for the Coriolis effect. And then there's other ones that say they don't. They just do it for the wind. And I also told him about how some of the focal pendulums don't always go the right direction, so it doesn't prove anything. And they get stopped, so they have to start them. Or they have a motor down there keeping them going, so the motor can be slowly turning it. So he was fascinated to look that up at Griffith Observatory. Then the other thing was that, oh, and then we had questions about the eclipse. Oh, the other thing is when we went back to Hollywood Boulevard to try to meet up with the other guys, we met one couple where the wife has been a flat earther for a year, but the husband was not. He said, I'd love to be a flat earther. I said, well, what's keeping you from? Well, I can't quite prove it to myself. So I said, well, why don't you just keep looking into it? Then you'll know one way or the other pretty soon. And we joked around with them and talked to them, and he kind of believes lots and lots of conspiracy theories and knows that NASA's lying and all that kind of stuff. So we were joking about with his wife that it's just a matter of time before he becomes a flat earther. And he wanted to talk about how Hollywood is full of lies and stuff. And I said, well, that's why the Southern California Flat Earth Group comes there to Hollywood Boulevard, because you're in the middle of all the lies, you know, all the programming. So that was what we did last Saturday. Then we had some people ask us about the eclipse. It seems like every time an eclipse comes along, people are interested in Flat Earth, or they feel like that proves the globe. And like as if us Flat Earthers have no answers to this and can't possibly be interested in this or trying to ignore it. So I was pointing people to all the eclipse videos people were making. Like Nathan Roberts had a live stream taking pictures of the blood moon for like 2 hours while him and his son were freezing in their backyard. So there's a lot of flat earthers. I know Nate Wolf has some good pictures too. There's lots of guys that were doing that kind of thing. And then Kat ran into, who is the guy that you know?
Oh, one of my friends, Kevin Hogwood, he made a Flat Earth debunking video. Oh, well, that's strange, and I watched it, and he brought up a bunch of points, like being able to see the Northern Star and the Southern Cross only in different hemispheres, like this disproved the Flat Earth. So, what do you know about that?
Well, you made a page responding to his stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So, these are the kinds of questions that all of us have at the beginning. You know, these are all the normal things. I haven't seen any proof of a 24-hour sun in Antarctica, because they don't film it and just show it to you. I've seen lots of them for the Northern Hemisphere in Alaska and Norway. But I've never seen anybody give us an uncut, you know, 24-hour time lapse down south. It cut clips and the sun changes, or it keeps repeating. You know, Jaron has some good videos about that, how there is no good footage of the southern 24-hour sun.
He was saying eclipses can't happen on a flat earth, but you know, if you have the sun and the moon circling around, the moon can get between the earth and the sun and have a solar eclipse.
Yeah, it could work just basically the same way as we think it does for the solar eclipse.
The lunar eclipse, I don't know what's eclipsing it.
Yeah. I'm kind of thinking that it's like the sun, the light comes through the dome and gets blocked. So you can look at videos of people making... So this is an entry you put on our website, right?
Yeah.
What did you call it?
Answering Kevin Hogwood.
Yeah, so you can find that on flatearthfamily.com.
Yeah.
What else was he talking about?
He says he works at the space station in Florida. I don't know what he does. But he says, you know, he's seen all these launches and he's seen satellites and the space station go by in the sky. He had a lot of stuff about satellites. And with our family that worked on the satellite technology, they were asked, how does geosynchronous orbit work? And the guy says, well, only a few people on the whole Earth know how to do it. It's like magic, was his answer.
Yeah, and the satellites, I don't see... We definitely are seeing stuff up there. We just don't know what we're seeing. It doesn't prove that those things are 100 miles up, 200 miles up, that we're communicating with them. I don't know about that kind of stuff. What he was showing as proofs doesn't prove it to me. These aren't things enough to make me think it's definitely round.
And things like satellite TV, they could be bouncing it off the firmament, you know, and getting
or some other layer
signal back. You know. And he was talking about ships going out into the ocean and, you know, you're losing the bottom part of it first. And, I haven't seen that. Except, you know, you get so many waves in the way, you're going to lose.
Well, sure, yeah, it disappears from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't prove that it's curved to me.
Yeah. So I've made a long page of... pointed people to a lot of videos.
When did he do his debunking page, or was it a video?
3 or 4 days ago.
Was it a page?
No, it's a video. His YouTube is Kevin's Bible Study and Current Events, I think it's called. I could put a link to it in
there.
Yeah,
you should put that in your thing. And then, so you found this a few days ago, then you did yours, and he's already responding to all the criticism. You should have known a lot of flat earthers would be responding to him. All right, well, we don't know when the next one will happen, but we'll let you know when we have another adventure talking to people on the streets, since people are always surprised with the results and the reactions and stuff like that.
All right, we'll see you next time.
All right, bye.